1937, Samuel Caldwell was the first person arrested for marijuana in the United States. In 2008, the 20 millionth person was arrested for marijuana in the United States. After 71 years of this failed prohibitionist policy,
it's time to say
enough and demand a change. Normal is calling on you to help spread the word, and in doing so, you could win $2,500 in our 2008 Pro Cannabis Law Reform Ad Contest. Just create a 30 or 60 second video or flash animation explaining why we need to end adult marijuana prohibition. Theme ideas, examples from past contests, and the contest rules are all available at normal.org. Just look for the Pro Cannabis Ad Contest banner. You could win your share of $10,000 in prizes, and the grand prize $2,500 winner will be featured in upcoming Normal web and television campaigns. Join our Pro Cannabis Ad Contest today. Deadline for entries is January 15th, 2009. It's Thursday, November 13th, 2008, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville. Produced and distributed by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C., this is your normal daily audio stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Welcome to the most popular podcast regarding marijuana in all of America and all the world, featuring interviews with scientists, politicians, doctors, prohibition policy activists, regular cannabis consumers, musicians, and Normal's staff and Normal's board of directors, along with music and comedy no other podcast can offer. You can always find out more about our show at our website, stash.normal.org. And continue the education and conversation on our blog as well. We're ending marijuana prohibition with education, one listener at a time. The podcasting and blogging technology for the Normal Daily Audio Stash is provided by Red Aphid Interactive Media. For your professional web design needs, visit redaphid.com. Hello, Stashers. Welcome back to the podcast. We're glad you downloaded us today. For today's Stash, of course, it's Thursday, which means we're going to have our regular 420 comedy segment with Terry Joyce, formerly of Last Comic Standing and currently starring on ComedyNation.com all throughout the intertubes. She brings back Lori Buckley, the daughter of the acclaimed jazz-era comic Lord Buckley, and we talk a little bit about the need for marijuana to undergo a PR campaign upgrade, shall we say. We also visit with George Rohrabacher, who's one of the members of the Normal Board of Directors, and he did a little sleuthing on the results from the Michigan medical marijuana ballot proposal during the election. And he discovered something quite amazing about the result. So keep on listening and you'll find out how Michigan medical marijuana may have been the final blow in any arguments against medical marijuana from conservatives. Also, I wanted to make a little note about a website that's out there right now, which is the office of the president-elect Barack Obama has put up a website called change.gov. And out of this website, they're encouraging people to write in and tell the incoming administration what their vision is for the upcoming, what their vision is for the country. So I'm encouraging everyone to go out to change.gov and tell them about your vision for ending adult marijuana prohibition. You can say whatever you like. You can talk about industrial hemp or medical marijuana or just the right of people who socially use cannabis in private and responsibly to be left alone. However you want to phrase it, I've got my rather lengthy rant posted up at stash.normal.org that I sent in earlier, but go ahead. Go to change.gov and let them know how you feel about drug policy in this country. Okay, Stashers, we got a whole lot of stuff to get to and not a whole lot of time to do it. And let's just this time take ourselves one of those nice, edible, special chocolate chip cookies and enjoy your normal daily Audio Stash.
Hello, I'm Paul Stanford from the Hemp and Cannabis Foundation, or THCF. Medical marijuana is legal in 13 states today, and THCF has clinics in 8 of those states. Our doctors help qualified patients obtain an authorization for medical marijuana in their state. Patients are eligible for medical marijuana with a history of either severe chronic pain and or nausea, cancer, AIDS or HIV, hepatitis, glaucoma, seizure disorders like epilepsy, chronic muscle spasms such as multiple sclerosis or asthma, neurodegenerative diseases such as Alzheimer's, and gastrointestinal disorders like IBS or Crohn's disease. If you or someone you know has one of these conditions, our doctors will help you obtain a permit for medical marijuana. THCF Medical Clinics has offices in Washington State, Oregon, California, Colorado, Hawaii, Nevada, Montana, and now Michigan. Call 1-800-723-0188 or go to the web at hemp.org or 1-800-723-0188.
Now it's time to take a look at the latest stories about marijuana from news organizations across America and around the world in our normal daily audio stash, Hemp Headlines. Boulder, Colorado police make pot arrest after normal meeting. From the Boulder Daily Camera. A University of Denver student was arrested Tuesday night in Boulder on suspicion of marijuana possession after leaving a meeting about medical use of the drug. Michael Joseph Dupree, age 19, provided police with a physician's statement that a medical condition warranted use of the drug. The letter was issued by a California doctor, though, and is not valid in Colorado. Medical marijuana users in Colorado must be registered with the Colorado Department of Health's Medical Marijuana Registry. The meeting was at the University of Colorado and hosted by the campus chapter of the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. The meeting discussed how to obtain a medical marijuana card in Colorado, something Dupree has not yet done because he recently moved from California, he said Wednesday. According to Boulder police, Dupree was stopped after running a red light on Broadway near Colorado University. Police said they, quote, noticed a strong odor of burnt marijuana, end quote, inside his car, and small pieces of a, quote, a green leafy substance, end quote, in the change dish. After searching the car, police said they found a glass pipe and 0.08 grams of marijuana concentrate in Dupree's car. He was arrested on suspicion of possession of drug paraphernalia and possession of 8 ounces or less of marijuana. Both are misdemeanors. Dupree declined to comment on what medical condition he has that requires medicinal marijuana, but the doctor's note said it was a, quote, serious condition, end quote. What in the world does the normal meeting have to do with the marijuana arrest? He didn't get the marijuana at the normal meeting. In fact, it sounds like he was a California patient attending the normal meeting so he could learn how to be legal in the state of Colorado. Are the Boulder police now staking out normal meetings to catch dangerous criminals like this one, who was caught with 0.08 of a gram of marijuana concentrate? What is that, resin? And a pipe? I'd also like to know whether this running a red light was the blowing up through an intersection type, or if it was merely the typical case of someone underestimating the time left on a yellow light. It's not fair, it's not legal, it's not constitutional, but my guess is this happens more than anyone will admit, and not just from normal meetings, but hemp fests, reggae and rap concerts, leftist political rallies, and so forth. My advice is to keep your stash at home or in your car's trunk. University medical marijuana policy undetermined in Michigan. From the North Wind at the North Michigan University. Universities across Michigan may soon face trouble enforcing a newly passed proposal which legalized marijuana for medicinal purposes. Proposal 1, which passed in Michigan in the November 4th election, legalized the possession of up to 2.5 ounces of marijuana with a valid prescription. The section of Northern Michigan University's handbook dealing with drugs says, quote, No student shall possess, use, distribute, sell, or manufacture illegal drugs or other controlled substances in any building or on any property owned or controlled by the university except as permitted by law. End quote. It is unclear whether medical marijuana would fall under this definition because while legalized by the state of Michigan, marijuana remains a controlled substance by federal standards. Other campuses across the country have come to widely varying conclusions on the legality of medicinal marijuana on campus. Last year, a Colorado State student who was caught possessing a small amount of medical marijuana had university sanctions against him dropped after hiring a lawyer to defend himself. The student initially faced suspension from the school and mandatory drug rehab classes. The University of California, Bakersfield, on the other hand, has decided that state medical marijuana rules do not apply to universities. The argument is that the universities receive federal funding and are therefore subject to federal laws regarding the legality of medical marijuana. Well, I think UC Bakersfield's policy is bunk, because the California university system is under no mandate to enforce federal laws. Isn't that the same argument that San Diego and San Bernardino are trying to make, that the courts have repeatedly ruled that California counties aren't in the federal law enforcement business? Certainly, San Diego and San Bernardino counties receive some forms of federal funding, too. I think the Michigan universities and others throughout the medical marijuana states should treat marijuana like they treat Ambien, Percocet, or Vicodin. So long as the student has the legal right under state law and a doctor's supervision, and he isn't giving them out to other students, leave him alone. New Mexico not alone in lacking marijuana dispensaries. From the Daily Lobo. Since medicinal marijuana was legalized in New Mexico in 2007, there are about 200 medical cannabis users in the state, according to Rena Shapansky, director of Drug Policy Alliance New Mexico. However, patients have no place to legally purchase the drug, except in California, Shapansky said. Student William Bowes uses medical marijuana to help relieve painful pressure in his eyes caused by glaucoma. He said he has found a way to deal with the lack of dispensaries in New Mexico, but that it has been difficult. Garrison Courtney, spokesman for the Drug Enforcement Administration, said the federal government doesn't focus on people with prescriptions for medical marijuana so much as those who provide it to them. He said, quote, "When you look at the amount that the states are legalizing, the DEA doesn't necessarily go out and arrest the individual pot smoker. That is a huge waste of our resources. We go after drug traffickers and drug organizations." End quote. Courtney said there is no such thing as medical marijuana and that dispensaries are therefore unnecessary. Quote, "There aren't any legitimate medical studies that are currently in existence that show there is a medical benefit to marijuana," end quote, he said. Why do drug warriors make my job so easy sometimes? At Normal, we've got links to dozens of legitimate medical studies, including the federal government's own 1999 Institute of Medicine study, that conclude that cannabis has medical benefit. Courtney could have even looked up this study from the New Mexico State Department of Health. We've got links to all of them at our blog at stash.normal.org. As usual, the drug warriors want you to believe them and not your own or William Bowes' lying eyes. Bowes is prescribed medical marijuana for glaucoma, one of six conditions for which a doctor can prescribe the drug in New Mexico. The others are cancer, epilepsy, multiple sclerosis, HIV/AIDS, and spinal cord damage with intractable spasticity, according to the State Department of Health's medical marijuana website. Bowes said the marijuana treats more than just his symptoms. Quote, "I went to the eye doctor yesterday and got tested. My pressure in my left eye was 24 prior to using cannabis. Yesterday, it was 17. The pressure in my right eye was 21. Now it's 12, Bowes said. "And it's slowing nerve atrophy and other things wrong with my eyes," end quote. Bowes said the medical marijuana has also provided relief from severe pain, which no other medication could do. Quote, I went from having a constant severe migraine headache to having no headache at all. So there has been an absolute benefit," end quote, he said. Courtney said there is a prescription drug called Marinol which contains synthetic THC that could be used instead of marijuana. Marinol has been found to reduce nausea and vomiting in cancer patients undergoing chemotherapy, and it has shown to increase appetite in AIDS patients. Courtney said, quote, "This drug has been on the market for at least 10 years. If this drug is out there, then why do people need to smoke marijuana? You don't," end quote. Don't you just love it when cops play doctor? Yeah, that Marinol, it's good for nausea, vomiting, and appetite. So then it's perfect for William Bowe's glaucoma and chronic pain. Why do people need to smoke natural, cheap, effective marijuana when there's a pill that treats nausea, if you can swallow it and keep it down, knocks you into a drug-induced stupor by packing a 100% THC punch of psychoactivity with none of natural marijuana's anti-psychoactive CBDs to take the edge off, and only costs $20 a pill? It's like asking why you would eat an apple when you can have a McDonald's drive-thru hot apple pie turnover.
I smoke lots of weed, man, I plant that big old seed, man, I smoke every strain there is in town. From the super sticky green to the headache maxi brown, I smoke every strain there is around.
I know that I like it, I know that lots of people like it, so let's see what happens if you overdo it.
Do we have any pot smokers here today? Do we at all?
My name is Doug Benson, and I'm about to get super high.
The term medical marijuana, you've basically, you drank the Kool-Aid, because there is no such thing as medical marijuana.
I'm going to smoke pot every day for 30 days
and try to remember to film it.
And my movie's going to be called Super High Me,
or Business as Usual. I haven't decided yet on the title.
I'm going to be hospitalized, I think.
Some people call it dope, some think it smells like burning rope. I tell you, it relieves my mind.
Weed.
That's the Weed Valley, hoopie ha.
Weed.
Where any office boy or young mechanic.
Now it's time to take a look at 420 Comedy with the star of Hollyweed Live. You know her from the season one of Last Comic Standing on NBC. It's Terry Joyce.
Oh, thank you.
And we've got a returning guest to the Daily Audio Stash podcast. Lori Buckley is joining us again from Hollywood.
Call me LB. You may call me Buck. You may call me anything you like.
Just don't call you late for 420.
I like it.
All right. Well, great to have you back here for the 420 segment. And we were thinking about, you know, the election results here. I did an interview today also with George Rohrabacher, who's one of the normal board of directors members. And he had pointed out how, you know, medical marijuana just passed in the state of Michigan. And, you know, it did really well. It got like, you know, 63% of the vote. It even got more votes than Barack Obama did. But what George found out is that not only did medical marijuana pass in the state, it passed in every single county. Even the counties that voted for John McCain voted for medical marijuana. So 83-0 as far as the county by county results go. So Terry, where I'm taking this is, you know, a thought about, you know, we were able to get medical marijuana in Michigan and able to get it, you know, even in these conservative places that voted for McCain. So where do we go from here? What do you think about that as far as trying to get this across to the people who aren't necessarily on our side?
I think that we need to it's marketing.
Yeah.
I think that that marijuana suffers from a bad image, and the usual way of, you know, I'm not to say that I love Cheech and Chong, you know, I mean, I love them, but you know, that genre of movies and way of looking at marijuana as being dysfunctional when you smoke it,
yeah,
or having it be that, well, you're not you know, upstanding in society. I think these negative views and, you know, the advertising that goes on. I mean, the advertising is ridiculous. You know, a guy with a hand in his in his mouth and can't get it out. You know, who does that?
That's right.
That's just completely false.
That's kind of a good thing you bring up there, those ONDCP, those Drug Czar ads. You know, in the past 5 or 6 years, they have done like a total anti-marijuana blitz. And yet this year in the elections, 9 out of 10 pro-marijuana initiatives passed. So it looks like the advertising campaign they're using isn't getting people to be against marijuana. I guess we need to think about how do we make a pro-marijuana advertising campaign. And, you know, speaking of the movies too, I kind of like that, you know, at least the most recent movies like the Harold and Kumar movies and stuff, kind of gross and juvenile that they are, at least the characters are like, you know, smart guys that, you know, work, you know, real smart jobs for a living, so maybe that's an improvement. Lori, what do you think about this?
It's an improvement. Well, you know, it took us with Obama winning the election. It only took us, what, 150 years to put an end to racial discrimination on the upper levels.
Yeah.
And so I think the movement is happening. It's creeping along slowly because, you know, the hardest thing to admit, or even the people down south, was that the bad juju they inherited from doing mean things to really nice people and every kind of violation you can imagine that goes along with that. And this is going to be part of the transition problem, too, is we hurt a lot of people in this country with the negativity that was projected on them. And it's really hard to admit what you've done. And then the why comes in, and now we know for a fact it's the alcohol lobby. You know, they know they'd be wiped out. The competition would definitely put a little dip in there somewhere, even though the smokers are also drinkers sometimes. But so we have to go past all the judgments that were made. Imagine the lawsuits if the truth was really known that would be enacted up simply from the bad legislation and the horrible judicial creation that we caused by believing these lies. You know, these unraveling lies, much like everything the Bush administration had to do. But the blessing side is that there are more people getting high. It is the underground source. It is a thriving, magnificent community of coolness that exists by people that are constantly have been harassed in the past. So I see it crossing over. Now it's a matter of admitting, I know you're Republican, you are smoking, baby.
Yeah.
And the fact that we need to decriminalize the first thing and empty out these prisons. And give law enforcement a break because they're way too powerful, and nothing's easier than a marijuana bust for these guys.
Yeah, exactly. Easy work. So what will we do then, Terry, as far as putting together some sort of ad campaign or some sort of way to give a positive image to cannabis and cannabis users?
Well, I think we should do commercials that, like for instance, you know, every time you watch a football game, you have like erectile penile, you know, dysfunction. I mean, we should do one for marijuana, like, you know, erectile dysfunction, marijuana. You know, I mean that's silly, but maybe if we did ads that, you know, showed where marijuana actually helps people.
Yeah.
Like a PSA or something. You know, like an elderly person, drinking, you know, a marijuana drink and eating, and people who, you know, have HIV taking care of themselves that way. And, you know, then maybe just, you know, why don't we just call a spade and just show people what the typical marijuana smoker is who uses it recreationally, and it's a positive thing. Maybe it's a little out there, but with all the things that we access that we have to the internet, as people, we can just do it ourselves. Really.
Absolutely. You know, I've seen something like that in a print ad campaign where they show a guy who's like a stock market trader or whatever, and they said an ad copy says another typical stoner. But I've only seen those in print. Like you say, I'm not seeing them in you know, radio ads or TV ads. Maybe there's a problem in getting them past, the mainstream media filter. Maybe these stations are reluctant to buy those ads. I know that, up in Washington State, when the ACLU put out that 30-minute infomercial with Rick Steves, you know, about marijuana, I mean, God, Rick Steves is one of the least controversial people you could imagine, and they still couldn't get that on the air. So maybe that's the issue.
Well, my slogan is, if marijuana could just kill a couple of people, it could be legal too. And then right behind that is the only thing the truth lacks in this world is a sponsor. Because, you know, the beauty of this election is that it brought forth that people are tired of buying into the fear. And right along with the fear of a stupid presidency and the administration of bad laws that don't serve us is the truth that we need to get over this. We have business to do and things to happen in this nation, and it cannot happen if we're going to drag along the memories of the Klansmen and all the crap that happened before us, if we don't start building on a more intelligent generation that knows for a fact that pot hurts no one, that George Washington grew his own crop, that hemp is the solution for agriculture in this country all the way around, from fuel to shirts to your mind, you know, and your health, and that it's going to dance with, it's dancing right now against the pharmaceutical that needs to move over and do what it can do and leave what it can't do alone.
I love what you're saying. And you know, I think of when I think of an ad campaign, I kind of think like, you know, one that I think has been really effective on the tobacco front has been those truth ads. You've probably seen them. They have all sorts of like kind of guerrilla theater type things where they go out into the streets and they do these, you know, kind of protests and stuff against tobacco companies and such. And I think a truth campaign for cannabis would be great, where it just kind of assaults some of these drug war lies. Maybe we could get Terry to star in them.
I like that.
Yeah. Okay. the wheels of my head are turning. I think that is something that we need to do, to do campaigns and to do our own, you know, sit down and write, you know, do our own PSA ads and perhaps they can even be slightly humorous but informative at the same time and just put them on YouTube and, you know, put them on the internet. I think more people at times are looking at the internet than they are network television anyway.
Yeah, well, you know, speaking of you know, ads like that for the internet, this is a good time as any for me to bring up Normal's pro cannabis ad contest. We've been putting together a contest where people can put a 30 to 60 second flash animation or 30 to 60 second video that we're giving away $2,500 top prize, $10,000 total prizes. So we'll get something out there on the net. We'll see whether or not we can get it up on the air on TV. Maybe you'll have to pull some of your enormous Hollywood string pulling out there for us, Terry, and get us some backers.
I don't know. You show up with a budget. I don't think these guys are going to have too much problem, especially in the state of California where, you know, everybody's a registered smoker.
Yeah, no kidding.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you talk about, especially the entertainment industry, you know, I mean, I'm not to squeal on anybody, but it you know, it seems like, you know, there are tons of artists and you know, I mean.
Are you telling me Hollywood producer and actor types use marijuana?
Let's
shock.
Make a smoke screen that works.
Yeah, no kidding.
How do you think they come up with the ideas?
I guess, yeah, judging from some of the TV shows I've seen.
I saw Tenacious D. I see what they can do under the influence.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, ladies, we have to wrap things up here for our 420 comedy segment. So is there any new comedy news down there in Hollywood as far as appearances by either of you that you want to promote or some websites or anything?
Well, I do have a benefit coming up that's going to be for it will be on ComedyNation.com too as well, but it's for medical marijuana.
Oh, great.
I was going to ask Lori if she wanted to do it that night as well. We're going to do a benefit, medical marijuana benefit, with the Free Speech Show, and that's going to be September 29th, and it's for.
Now you meant November 29th.
I'm sorry, November 29th. Okay. God, I didn't mean to say September.
That's okay. So November 29th, and this will be...
November 29th, where there's going to be a little, you know, drinking, you know, like a little wine and appetizers beforehand, a little cocktail party at 7, and the show starts at 8.
Okay, where at?
And it's at Bill Bronner's house in Los Angeles.
Okay.
And that's where the taping will take place.
Excellent. Then that'll be up on ComedyNation.com shortly
also,
afterwards.
Yes.
Yeah.
Please watch the Free Speech Show, listeners, which we have so much fun. And also, at the Magic Castle, last night I got to watch a performer named Jake Broder that does a
fabulous Lord Buckley, and that may end up being their new home. So we're waiting to see that. So people in the L.A. area that love the Magic Castle, they were rocking last night in the Inner Circle room there, and hopefully Jake will be bringing back some Lord Buckley, which definitely leans toward the beauty of the great green vine.
How trippy must that be to watch someone doing, you know, basically a character of your dad's?
It's absolutely, it's beautiful. Jake, he has a three-piece behind him, a bass player, drummer, and a kick-ass piano player. And the great thing about Jake Broder is he's a musician, too. It makes him like a triple threat. Mm. And he just wails on the Pied Piper. And, you know, it's one thing to hear an album, but it's another thing to watch the reenactment of something with a little schmacky of his own. And it was beautiful for us. And last night happened to be the 48th marking of Lord Buckley's death date, which they didn't even know. They were just busy doing their scene. But gave him a little special because some people like the out date, some people like the in date when it comes to celebrations. We do both.
Yeah, twice as much time to party.
It was beautiful.
Well, that's great to hear. Thank you so much, Lori Buckley and Terry Joyce again for joining us here for 420 Comedy. We love it every Thursday here at the Daily Audio Stash.
76% of Americans no longer support arresting and jailing marijuana smokers. And nearly as many support the medical patients having access to medical marijuana. And over 80% of our citizens now believe the war on drugs is an ineffective failure. So the question is, when will the government's misguided war on adult marijuana smokers finally end? When? Simple. When you and your like-minded friends, family, and coworkers get involved with an organization such as the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, also known as NORMA. My name is Keith Strop, and I founded the organization in 1970. Contact us at NORMAL, toll-free, 888-67-NORML, or by visiting the organization's up-to-date webpage at www.normal.org.
Here at the Normal Daily Audio Stash, we work hard to change our nation's marijuana laws through education and discussion. But we also take time to relax and unwind with an eclectic mix of pod-safe music from many independent artists. We look for music that speaks to the growing truth about cannabis, or music that speaks to broader themes of freedom, liberty, social justice, equality, and protest. To find out more about the artists and download the music you hear on this podcast, just log on to stash.normal.org. And if you'd like to get your music heard by the online cannabis community, just send us an email at stash@normal.org.
Happy Thursday, Stashers. This is Josh with the musical interlude. Trans-American Americana folk band, The Snake Across the Crown, may have an obviously biblical band name, but they sound nothing like Amy Grant or... Okay, I don't know any other Christian band names. Sorry. I don't even know if they are a Christian band. They might be one of those new Christian types, bands like Me Without You and, I guess, Pedro the Lion, to a certain extent, who aren't afraid to be Christian and write songs about Jesus, but aren't as in-your-face as bands like, well, Amy Grant. Or the other one. You know the one I'm talking about. Either way, if they are a Christian band, then they apparently understand the deep connection between spiritualism and getting high. Their song, The Great American Smokeout, is a lovely little... Their song, The Great American Smokeout, is a lovely little Americana song about people who are struggling to get by. And with lyrics like, she is thinking of her son's demise on his epitaph, a doctor's bill, I immediately see images of poor, struggling cancer patients trying to pay for expensive medication when all they need is a little weed. I guess what we really need is a great American smokeout. For more information on The Snake Across the Crown, you can visit their MySpace page or their website. Both are linked on our blog. That's stash.normal.org. You should also definitely check out their Day Trotter session, which you can also find the link at stash.normal.org. You can download MP3s there. It's a great website for indie artists. And one last thing. If you are a musician or a band who wants to be featured on The Stash, just send your music to normalsafemusic@gmail.com. I've been getting a little bit of feedback on that, and I want to get more people up on the stash. So I listen to every single MP3 that's sent to me, and so far it's been excellent, so keep them coming. And without further ado, The Snake, The Cross, The Crown with The Great American Smokeout.
Humming to himself as he is thinking of his latest debts, juggling some numbered thoughts, wondering what might come next. As swears he won't ever stop unless he wants what she shall lead. Does not hold Jim, John, Jackie, and Susie Q. Himself as he is thinking of his latest debts, juggling some number thoughts, wondering what might come next, and swears he's right, though he's convinced himself it is. Working in an upscale place, she is thinking of her son's demise. On his epitaph, a doctor's bill, she puts off for another time. To say she won't ever stop unless she wants it. She surely does not. Jim, John, Jackie, and Susie Q.
Casper Leach, host of Time for Him. When our politicians passed the Marijuana Tax Act in 1937, the citizens of the United States had no idea that a new civil war had begun. Now, after more than 7 decades of this war's escalation and spending well over $1 trillion of taxpayers' money, the result has been an arrest record of more than 37 million brothers and sisters for nonviolent drug offenses. Every year, we choose to continue this war. We do so at the cost of well over $69 billion. Add to this, we are building prisons faster than we are building schools. In fact, the prison industry is now one of the fastest growing industries in the United States. We must end this civil war. We can with your help. Please, join LEAP, the law enforcement against prohibition, and become part of the solution to ending the war on drugs. Go to leap.cc and find out how to become a member.
We're still pretty jubilant here at the Normal Daily Audio Stash over the election results, where 9 out of 10 marijuana-themed initiatives or state ballot measures passed this year. And digging through the state election results for Michigan, we find our own Normal Board of Directors member George Rohrabacher, like in his words, a bear at the dump, pawing through the election results. And George, thanks for doing that, and welcome back to the Stash.
I like being a bear at the dump.
Yeah. Well, speaking of that metaphor, I was just noting your piece that you wrote in the Normal blog, where you had kind of gone through the election results for Michigan's medical marijuana proposal. Why don't you just give our listeners a little thumbnail sketch of what that piece was about?
Well, just as a piece of background, I was in the Washington State Senate and lost my race in a recount by like 160 votes out of 35,000. Oh. My wife was a school superintendent, and we worried over school board elections and bond issues. So I have spent a lot of time poring over precinct by precinct election results. And the morning after the election, I had seen the press of the Michigan win, and so I went to the Michigan State website and clicked on the county by county results, and as I was scanning them, I was about halfway through and I realized I hadn't seen a county yet that hadn't passed it.
Mm-hmm.
And as I kept scanning, my heart was racing. I couldn't believe it. A total shutout, 83-0.
Yeah, that is amazing. That, you know, usually when we look at these marijuana initiatives or any of these political pushes to liberalize our laws, you know, at least in my home state here in Oregon, you know, we can always count on support from the urban areas, you know, Multnomah County or the college towns like Eugene. But then you get out into eastern Oregon, you get into some of these more conservative places and the map turns, you know, crimson red. So to have an entire state, every single district, every single county voting for marijuana reform is truly remarkable.
Well, and I think what it says to me is this highly controversial issue wasn't controversial.
Yeah.
By a margin of 25%, it's 62.6% to 37.4% are the numbers, but by a margin of 25%, the voters of Michigan said yes to medical marijuana.
Yeah, that's an amazing thing.
Still, I'm astounded, astonished.
Yeah, we're looking at rural counties and urban counties, suburban counties. I mean, Michigan's a pretty diverse state.
In fact, I was looking at some of the results. The most far northern county in Michigan, Kiowa County, which is a total of 1,400 votes, they voted 53% for McCain and voted 59% for medical marijuana.
Wow. And speaking of the presidential race, too, medical marijuana did get more votes than President-elect Obama did.
Yeah, well, and it not only got 130,000 more votes than President Obama polled, but 200,000 more people voted in the Obama-McCain race.
Oh, wow. So even though there were less total votes for medical marijuana, they still beat him by 130,000.
30,000.
Wow.
Yeah.
And to find those McCain counties also, you know, so overwhelmingly supporting medical marijuana, that's pretty amazing. What was was that 53% the lowest level of support you found?
Well, the McCain counties, there were 83 total counties in Michigan. Obama won 48 of those counties, and McCain won 35. And the best McCain county in Michigan at this polling was Ottawa County, which voted 61%, about 130,000 votes there, and 61% for McCain, and medical marijuana won there by 50.4%, which was about as close a vote as there was, but still a huge majority for McCain, majority still for medical marijuana.
Wow. Now, looking forward to the future here and other states that are going to try this, we know that Minnesota has tried to get medical marijuana through its legislature, but has been stalled in one house or the other, as well as Illinois has got kind of the same situation. What do you think the leaders of the parties there in those other Midwestern states, are they going to be paying attention to this kind of stuff? Do they look?
Well, this is the kind of thing that allows you to sort of take the temperature of the populace, and especially when you have a national race where you can use the template of the McCain Obama ideological split, and then use those county by counties to see what happened. And what you find is people of every walk of life from every part of the state, urban, suburban, you know, rural, have supported it, and it can't just be they did a great job supporting this measure, which they did, but that kind of blowout, and I mean in the five largest counties it was over 2-1. That is a blowout, a tsunami, earthquake, an election result.
Yeah, it is.
It should say something to the other states in the in the Midwest that this isn't a controversial marginal issue. This is a Main Street right down the Main Street of America issue.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're seeing that in state after state, even in South Dakota, which was the only state that had a medical marijuana initiative that failed at the ballot. It only failed like 52-48. So even, you know, some place like South Dakota is, and that was what, 2006. So the times have changed, and, you know, we may spread from the Midwest start getting into the Plain States and the Midwest states. There would be fantastic.
Well, and I could be wrong on this, but I believe there are 28 states that have the initiative process to the voters,
mm-hmm.
and the remaining states have to rely solely on the legislature.
But right.
It's something where you know, the voters of Michigan, the legislature didn't give them this.
Right.
The voters of Michigan took this. They took it back.
Yeah, yeah.
They took their rights back.
Yeah, we find that the states in the West Coast and Western states have this initiative process. There's a few in the Midwest, but once you start getting toward the South and the Northeast, that's where you're going to have to pretty much rely on your legislature. Other than Massachusetts and Maine, and Maine already has medical marijuana, and we got Massachusetts to pass decriminalization this year, so I imagine medical marijuana will be on their horizon pretty soon.
Well, one of the interesting things when medical marijuana started, when the first seven or eight states were up there, it looked almost like the states that voted for women's suffrage.
Mm.
Yeah, because the first states that had the women voting, it didn't get to New York until a whole generation later.
That's an interesting observation there, yeah.
And the medical marijuana map of the first eight states was almost the same template.
Yeah.
The same states that gave women the vote.
Well, if you're interested in seeing the medical marijuana states and the state of marijuana laws in general, we've got a great map that we've put up on the Stash blog, stash.normal.org. Check on the left-hand side and all the little hyperlinks there. There's a little mini map. You click on that, you get a full-size copy. It'll show you medical marijuana, decriminalization, per se DUID laws. We got all sorts of information on that for you, and used a lot of that information in these reports. George, once again, thanks for being with us on the Daily Audio Stash. Anything else you want to add before we close up shop here?
Well, I guess I would say that this vote in the middle of the Midwest tells me that America has learned, person by person, household by household, patient by patient, that the government is full of bullshit on this topic, and we want our medical marijuana back.
Truer words have never been spoken. George, thanks so much for joining us again, and take care of yourself.
Thanks, Russ.
Thank you for downloading the Normal Daily Audio Stash, the growing truth about cannabis. We are produced by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C. Our executive producer is Alan St. Pierre. Our deputy director is Paul Armentano. Our webmaster is Brian Judy. And web production is provided by Red Aphid Interactive Media. As always, you can catch up on the latest information about marijuana at www.normal.org. And you can interact and download from our Audio Stash blog at stash.normal.org. For everyone here at Normal, I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville, hoping all your harvests are bountiful and your encounters with law enforcement are non-existent. We leave you today with another one of our cannabis quotes, and this one comes from Dr. Melanie C. Dreyer, who wrote the report on prenatal marijuana exposure and neonatal outcomes in Jamaica from the mid-70s, probably the lead researcher in that field on prenatal and neonatal exposure to marijuana, who says, quote, "At 1 month, the exposed newborn showed better physiological stability and required less examiner facilitation to reach organized states. The infants of heavy marijuana-using mothers had better scores on autonomic stability, quality of alertness, irritability, and self-regulation, and were judged to be more rewarding for caregivers." End quote. Or to put it shortly, cannabis-using moms make happy babies. I don't know if that's exactly the way it goes, but sounds like it to me.
I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us here for the podcast. We'll be back tomorrow with more news and interviews you can use for the cannabis community. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.